Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is Sean and RJ here on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan, and sitting down in the hot seat, brought to you by Twin Peaks and Jellyfish Lighting, is Rangers general manager John Daniels. You can start, Choppy, with based upon his attire you love so much.
This is fantastic. He is head-to-toe Lulu, as he should be. The rock and the shoes and everything. Mm. It's a fantastic look. I've got to give you credit.
Are those Lulu shoes?
No, they're on clouds, but they're almost exclusively at Lulu now.
I'm going to take some heat for this, I feel like.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, not from you. From like.
Oh, from me, yes.
No,
Not from Choppy. How often do you do your own shopping?
I'm big, like, shop online, like Zappos or, the lazy way to shop.
Are you a clothing guy? Like, you like to pick it out, or you get the wife approval?
She'll, like, approve, like, general themes, I feel like. You know, like, if something's, like, just overall doesn't work, she'll make, like, but she's not... She's not real judgmental with that, yeah.
All right, I got a really massively important question, though, to start.
Astros, no. Position battles.
No. How was your dinner with Sean Sharif?
It was solid.
It wasn't with me. I was a part of it.
It was an ensemble deal we had there. Yeah. Oh, it was a fun night, man.
It was a fun night. How long did you guys stay after I left?
I think I might have been the next one out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I waited till I wasn't the first to tap out, and then I was pretty quick behind.
So it was a charity thing for Jared Sandler. Dave Wishnew, who's a part of the station advertisement, you know, he won it. So I was like, you guys sit near JD. And I was fascinated because I can't tell whether you're just naturally that chill in terms of entertaining all of the issues and all the standard questions you would get from fans, or whether you're just putting up with it. But you seem like... really cool about it.
I feel like if you ever get to the point where like you can't have those kind of you're done, right?
I
try not to forget like where you come. I'm a fan first, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, don't get me wrong, like it can get a lot sometimes, but if you ever forget that, you're in trouble.
But you were so engaged to the point where like someone brought up a point, I can't remember what it was, and you were like, no. Like you weren't giving fake answers. You were like, get out of here.
I think it was Ben.
Next question. John Daniels right here on 105.3 The Fan. But when you're walking around, what is the type of baseball comment someone will make to you? Because we get heat nonstop, but when we're out and about, it's usually not an insult thrown our way like would be texted or tweeted. So is it, hey, will you spend, or you guys suck, or is it, hey, what's up, JD, what's up, John?
It's kind of the same as you. It's like I think people get behind the keyboard and on social media and Twitter, and they're just like a little different like mindset.
Right.
People are generally pretty nice in person. So I'm always wondering, like, are they actually really nice? Or are they the same people that are MFing you on Twitter?
They're the same people.
Are media people the same? You see all these guys in the press box or sit down with us, and it's like, are you going to say what I know you said about me in the paper?
I was just talking with actually with TR and Matt Gangle about that a little bit, that they're like, I don't think our media, I might get killed for saying that. I don't think our media market is that tough on sports figures, right?
It's not Philadelphia,
right? And relative to the media, the market size, right? But the one guy that was always on me was Randy Galloway when I retired. Like, he'd kill me regularly. And I had this like grand idea that I was, you know what, he wanted to have me on the show. So I'm like, it was Greg Elkin at the time, like, I'll go on the show, but I want to go in the studio with him. Mm-hmm. Thinking like, you know, face to face, he won't say the same thing. I was a bit mistaken. And so I was like, hey, welcome to the show. Like, you should be fired.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, that backfired.
But Randy has the unbelievable gift of saying those things, but because of that draw and the accent, it doesn't sound as harsh, right?
He's saying it with all due respect.
Well, yeah, with all due respect.
It'd be like Chris Russo.
Yeah, I said no offense.
Yeah. Give him a little Russo. Tell me he should be fired as Russo.
I tell you, you should be let go right now, your job. You just terrible, your whole thing.
Like, that's not as harsh.
Yeah, no, I fear it. But I did respect that about him, that Randy was the same to your face as he was in print or whatever.
He was.
All right, let's talk about the offseason a little bit. What do you say to, you know, the Kluber deal? Everyone is going crazy over that. And then we were kind of sitting on the edge of our seat for the big bat, you know, with your Arenado rumors. And we know about Rendon and Brian Castellanos. So what do you say to the frustrated Rangers fan who feel like missed out on that second big addition?
I mean, I get it. We wanted to add the big bat, and I think overall we wanted to just get better. You know, now at the beginning of the offseason, I thought we were going to have had, by this point, brought in a kind of a middle of the order presence to match up with Joey. It ended up that we, you know, took a different path, and we really focused on the pitching side. I do think we made some incremental improvements in a few spots. I mean, I think between Chirinos and Frazier, I'm actually really intrigued by Greg Bird so far and what he's got a chance to do. I think our offense is going to be better, but you know, we wanted to add that big bat, we didn't. I will say this though, it's not over, right? There's trade activity in the spring, there's trade activity in July, like there's next year's free agent class that's pretty big again, and you know, this was just in our minds, this offseason was just kind of cracking open the start of when we're going to be back engaged with all the big names.
So without going into whatever detail you have to avoid, what was the reason you think a big bat wasn't added to this point? Because there's a criticism or a feeling out there that the Rangers, you know, operating in a smaller market mentality, that we're a top five, you know, market, and we're not willing to spend like that. What do you say to that thought?
I think we're willing to spend like that on certain guys. You know, we didn't – so –
Are you guys in a position where you feel like you have to overspend now?
What do you mean?
If you have to go get a big fish, right? Do you feel like you have to, like Rendon?
Yeah.
Don't go into whatever you can't go into, but that you guys have to give the extra year or two or go with the Castellanos.
I'm not sure how often it is that the player doesn't get the top.
Right.
Close the top, unless there's a unique circumstance. They're playing their hometown, they're re-signed with a club, whatever the case may be. But typically, whoever signs the player made the best offer. You know, I mean, the Yankees made the best offer for Cole. I'm sure he wanted to be there too, but they made it easy on him. And the Angels made a bigger offer than we made for Rendon.
You know, I think what bothers a lot of fans, I mean, I'll put myself in that same thing, is, you know, you have to spend at some point, right? And, you know, I know Woody had said that you guys didn't want to really sell your soul to go down that road. Is the line, because is getting the best third baseman on the available market really selling your soul?
No, but again, like, we looked at it as though, we wanted Rendon. I was not happy we went to Anaheim. Yeah. Like, there wasn't, I'm not, but we also didn't view it as like a one time shot at adding like an impact or, you know, third baseman. And so, listen, we still want to add to our offense. We might be able to via trade here sometime soon, and it might be, you know, down the line. But did we want to get him? Absolutely. Obviously, we didn't. I just don't view it as like our last chance to add that bat.
Was there a number that you would have matched on Castellanos that you would have gone for?
We were involved there.
Was it the opt out?
That was part of it. Not all of it, but that was part of it.
With the way you guys are constructed, John Daniels sitting down with us here in the hot seat, brought to you by Twin Peaks and Jellyfish Lighting, everyone is so excited about the pitching and the starting rotation. Can you win big in today's game of baseball, with that pitching approach being the major strength, kind of like in basketball where you have to score a ton, or in football right. where you have to score a ton. You know, I don't know how excited we would be about a team that had, you know, just an amazing defense in the NFL, which your Giants don't have, by the way. how do you apply that to baseball in your team?
So I think that, and I think this holds true for the other sports too. Like, you have to have a dominant unit. You have to have like one side of the, like, you have to be dominant in an area to like to and, but you have to win it all. You have to be really good in the other area too. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not the exact same level, but I think you look up and down like sports, like who wins with that, with, you know, just scoring, or in baseball, great offense, but, you know, you've got to be good at both. I think that our pitching has a chance to be like to be better than our offense, relatively speaking. We'll see, but. To answer your question, like, we're not trying to win with just one side. We know we need to keep improving on both sides to do it.
You know, you mentioned there's always times for adding guys. Is there a position group you're looking to add specifically, like relievers or outfield? What?
I mean, I think realistically right now the opportunities in spring training are typically going to be in the bullpen. So guys kind of sort through. That's typically where you get most opportunity to upgrade. We've still got some decisions to make. First base. In center field, kind of third base, first base fits in a similar mix because Frazier can move over. So I think if we were going to do anything positionally, it would unless, you know, bench upgrade. But those are the three areas that we would at least consider.
How do you handicap the Bird Guzman heavyweight championship?
I mean, it's, you know, week one here of games, so I would be like hesitant to like really make any decisions. But I've been really impressed with Greg Bird early on. I think, you know, he's had a good. Made a really good first impression. Swings the bat, and he's always. I mean, he was a top, like, first base prospect coming up because he had power, and he controlled the zone. You know, pretty good balance there. Where you get on base and head for power. So his issue has been staying healthy. You know, I mean, he hasn't had more than, I think, 300 at bats in a season in the big leagues. Hasn't really had an opportunity to establish himself, mostly because of his health. So we'll see. I mean, he's had foot issues the last probably year and a half. We'll see where it goes. So far, so good.
So we had Calhoun on. His face lit up about a name we brought up. We had Woody on. Same thing. And then we had the guy on yesterday, but Solak. You know, everyone is raving about Nick Solak. We know, you know, him, Odor, Solak in the outfield. Is it a case where you feel obligated, like we have to figure out a way to get him out there starting, or you don't feel like that has to happen?
I think what's going to happen is he's going to, If he keeps going to this pace, he's going to hit his way into that mix for it. He mostly has at this point. He's hit from day one. He hit at Louisville. He hit in the Yankee system. He hit for Tampa, and he hit as soon as he got here. I mean, I think this guy has a natural ability, combined with like tremendous work ethic. I mean, you get around like the Michael Youngs and these guys. They love this guy just because of where his head's at, his mindset. I mean, yeah, he's played 18 games in center field. We're like, hey, want to throw this in front of you, think you can work? You know, he's basically doing like 3 days. He comes out, does early work, does the regular work with the team, and if he's not playing, he does like works in the afternoon to try to figure out a position that's a little new to him. But
yeah,
he's going to be, barring something unforeseen, I would think he's part of our mix. Now, whether he's a true everyday player in one spot, we haven't made that call yet.
Obviously, you know, versatility is important, but we always wonder this about Profar. If you have your versatile guy playing two or three different spots, how do you balance needing the versatility versus never letting them really settle in and master one position?
I think everybody's a little different. Like, some guys that it may be a little bit of a challenge for them. Some guys I think actually kind of like it and kind of stay in game. I think Danny Santana liked it last year, moving around. You know, Ben Zobrist early in his career, he enjoyed it.
Gives him at bats.
Moving around, yeah. And I think he kind of liked the challenge. And some guys, it's stressful. You know, it's like they like one position. One position is a little easier for them than others, or trying to get the work in to stay fresh at three, four spots is challenge. And then, you know, that's part of the reason why, you know, with Joey, we want to keep him in the right field. I think he can play the other positions. He can play first base. We need him to like hit and hit a lot, right? And so let's put him in the best position to do that. And that's. We may get there at some point with Solak. We're not there right now.
You guys have been very candid and honest to him and to the media in regards to Odor. And Woody was on with us saying he's loving, you know, the way he was approaching things. What does Rugi try to focus on in the offseason? What did you guys want him to do coming in here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was kind of a self-evaluation, self-awareness. I think as he got he did made some of those adjustments in September, but it's hard to evaluate September, right? He went. What I was pleased with was he committed himself to a program. He was in one spot. He was in Miami the whole off season. He researched kind of who these guys he was going to work out with. Our hitting guys went down there. Our strength and conditioning guys went down there and saw his program. But he was hanging out with like Victor Martinez and Marco Scooter, smart players that had good approaches at the plate and good discipline. And I think he made very subtle adjustments. Just mostly on kind of his weight transfer and how he was going to set up at the plate. But I think I give him credit that he took a real like objective assessment of his year, knows he's better than that, knows that's not good enough, that he's that doesn't work. He didn't come back and be like, oh, I hit 30 bombs, so leave me alone. Like he's like, no, I need to get better. That part of it was really good to see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.